It's so good to be in God's house today, and we're just going to continue with what God has spoken. Last week, Pastor just did an amazing job on the body of Christ. It takes us all. It takes us as an individual to use the gifts and the calls that are within us. And every one of us that are here, everyone here sitting here today, you have gifts inside of you. They were put in us not to keep to themselves, because it's not about us. It's about the King of Kings, and it's about helping each other, helping someone that needs what we have. And so it was just a really, really good word. And we talked about the new season, and 2026 is a new season. It's a season where the prophetic flows freely. It's a season where the harvest is ripe. It's a season where prodigals return home. You're going to be shocked. I'm telling you, you're going to be shocked at some prodigals that are going to come home. You didn't even know that they wanted to come home. And I'm not just saying to your house, I'm saying come home and back to Jesus. Prodigals that's been sitting in the audience, non-committed because they just were tired and angry and all of the above. They just didn't want to be part of returning home. Vision renewed. That's exciting. How big can you think? And how big is your God? Vision renewed. Dreams fulfilled. There are dreams that are being fulfilled that 40, 50, 60 years ago, Pastor and Daryl and I, they were dreams that we had. And we, you know, sometimes you think, when is it coming? But you just stay faithful and they will come to pass. Strength increases. Pastor and I enjoy that one. We enjoy that strength increasing so we can do what God has called us to do. Growth multiplies. That's growth in the numeral, in the numbers, but growth in the spiritual realm, growth in our homes, growth in our own self that doesn't act like it used to act, doesn't think like it used to think. Growth means that I will submit myself. There's not one bit of rebellion in me. Now, that's a hard one, isn't it? Because if we said, and everybody would be truthful, and we said, how many of you are a little bit rebellious? Oh, my goodness, I didn't even ask the question, and there goes the hands. Well, I've heard that confession is good for the soul. So, boy, we're going to get the souls healed today, amen? But there are some things inside of us that need to be broken for us to be able to be what God wants us to be. He's not going to leave us like we are if we mean this. Amen? And then joy replaces every tear. We talked about, it's been mentioned, you know, tears have an expiration day. We cry for a while, but there comes a time when those tears fade away and joy begins to take place. And then a song of restoration is the last one. Because we talked, and many times I talked how I lost my song. And I become very aware that it wasn't easy for me to sing a song to the Lord. And I used to be, everything I did, no matter where I was at, you could find me because I was singing. I lost my song. But the restoration of the song of the Lord, and maybe you didn't even have a song. Maybe you've never done that. Maybe you've never walked around praying in the Spirit of God. Speaking in tongues, and then the next thing you know, a song would come forth from your innermost being. I've had God, when I've been praying for different things, and I remember one time in particular. I will get to my notes, I think. If not, well, then I'm just blubbering this morning. But I remember that I was praying at a prayer service, and there was only two or three, four people here. And I remember walking back and forth, and I was worrying. I was praying, worrying. You know what? We're not supposed to be praying, worrying. And you maybe never done that. I don't do that anymore, I promise you, because God really spoke to me that day. But sometimes we pray worried prayers because we think that he can't hear us and he don't understand. But I began to pray about something, and the song of the Lord came out. And this is what it said. Haven't I always been good to you? Haven't I always provided when you didn't know what was next? I always had it for you. And I was like, all right, darling, you got your word. Now hang on to it. Song of the Lord. You sing songs to the Lord. There's no end to what he might tell you prophetically as you begin to sing. And you give him that opportunity. Amen. Well, this morning we're going to talk about hearing and responding to the word of the Lord in this new season. Because, see, God wants to always speak. We have heard the word. We've heard what God is saying to us individually, but as a church. And I believe that the Spirit of the Lord is speaking clearly. But not only is he speaking clearly, he is speaking powerfully to everyone who has an attentive and eager ear to listen to him. Lord, what do you want to say to me? Lord, what is it that you want me to do? What is it, Holy Spirit, that I'm hanging on to that you are trying to convict me of? Even though, see, I want him to tell me again, because some of the things he convicts me of, I'm not quite ready to give up yet. But if I want what he's got for me, I need to repent. That rebellion I talked about a while ago, we've got to let it go. In Jesus' name, amen. The more we actively seek him, the more we will find him. The more we will experience his presence. I love that old song. The more I seek him, the more I love him. And the more I love him, the more I find him. I want to sit at his feet. See, we taste and we see that the Lord is good. Tuning our ears to the Spirit. How we do that? The Spirit of God is calling out. And those that draw near to him will hear him. Because, see, when we pursue God, he begins to reveal himself to us more and more and more. The more that we hunger for his presence, the more that we, you know, to shut out all the noise of the world. There's so much of it. And our thoughts just go every which way. But when we get into that place where we're, when we really are saying, God, I want you. I need you, but I want you. And we begin to seek his face and things begin to change in our life. We need to be able to see through spiritual lenses because it's crucial to keep our spiritual glasses on so we can see things from God's perspective. See, we see with a natural eye in one way, but God's eye, the spiritual eye that he wants us to see through, is so much bigger, so much better, and so much more clear than it is when we try to figure things out. So it's crucial that we do. We have to ask God to help us to see what he sees. God, we want to see what you see. We want to hear what you're saying, what you're speaking. We don't want it just to be all our carnal man that is seeing. See, it's easy for us to see what's in the natural. And it's easy to be caught up in what is happening around us because we all know there's a lot happening around us. It doesn't stop right now, does it? But God is doing amazing things in the midst of all of the chaos of life. There are big revivals that are going on, not just in the United States, but around the world. You don't get a whole lot of news on that, but there are revivals that are going on. There are young people that are getting saved and they're getting bold and they're telling others about Jesus Christ, their Lord. That's what we need to begin to see with a natural eye and begin to speak that our young people, our juniors, that they are getting on fire for God and they're going to cause a revival in their, wherever they go, on a job or in school, in college, in school, in grade school, that God's going to use them because there's a fire burning inside of them. We need to pray that they will have eyes to see. There's nothing like a child that has the Spirit of God and can see what God is seeing. It happens. it can happen to our children. I've told this story before. We used to travel around the country in a bus. And I remember Tiffy was just a little over 2 years old. We'd been in a really precious service. And she was laying in the back where there was a bed. And her little arms were up, and she just began to praise God. She was just praising, and she was just a crying and weeping before God. And the next thing I know, she began to pray in the Spirit. She began to speak in tongues at 2 years old. And you may think, how in the world? I don't know. But she was tuned in to the Master. She was tuned in. She was hearing worship songs, and she was just praising God and telling God how much she loved Him. Oh, isn't it going to be something when you start hearing your children at home praying in the Holy Ghost? Isn't it going to be good when you begin to pray in the Spirit more than you ever have before? Isn't it going to be something when you actually try it and begin to sing a song to the Lord? I love you, Lord. I love you more than anything. It doesn't have to be a beautiful voice. It doesn't have to be on tune. It doesn't have to be, because your audience is only one. Your audience is God Almighty. Your audience is the one that matters. When I said a while ago about keeping our spiritual glasses on, I shared this before because I didn't totally understand this dream. And God does, you know, I don't dream foolish dreams, because I told the devil a long time ago, because he was tormenting me with some dreams. And I told him, never again, the blood of Jesus is against you. And that's been probably 20 years ago. I've never had a bad dream, and I was having lots of them. Haven't had another one, and I will not in Jesus' name. But I've had a lot of dreams that I knew what God was saying. But this dream, I didn't really know exactly, and I don't know that I know it all the way, but last night, I got a little bit more of it. I was dreaming that Daryl and I was in this house, and it was a house that had wooden flats, but that's all boards. They were just wooden boards, but in between those boards was about a 2-inch space. And you could easily look out and you could see what's around you, all around you, all the different sides you could see. And there was a storm that was just raging outside. It was huge. And we knew that it was a tornado that was coming toward us. We knew that. We saw that with the natural eye. And so the only thing in that room was a bathtub, and it was a huge one of those really large with claw feet and whatever that's got. Yeah. And it was in there, the only place, but God's always got a safe place. He always can hide us. He can always put us where we need to be. But there was that bathtub. And so we start to get in it. And my husband, the last thing that he does every night is he takes his glasses off. But we had laid down, and we were in that tub, and he started to take his glasses off. And I said to him, keep your glasses on because you're going to need them. Didn't make any sense to me, except I knew there was something. There was something that signified that. As I was studying last night, I realized we can see clearly in the natural. It was different when we were in that room. We could see everything that was going on. There was no good. It was all bad because a storm was coming. But when we got in that safe place, we needed a different kind of sight. God will give us insight. When we're in a place that we have taken cover, because see, he covers us, but he wants us to see not just the natural, but he wants us to see in the Spirit. And that was such a revelation to me even last night, because I've wondered about that dream, but it just happened that this is what we're ministering on. The Apostle Paul, we all love him, right? He was preaching to the church in Corinth, And he's saying, when I first came to you, I spoke in simple tongues, terms. He said, I made the message so simple that you just had to be able to understand it. But he's saying to the mature, he said, I speak in wisdom of the mysteries of God. See, that's as we mature in God, the closer that we get to him, he can begin to allow us to see and hear the mysteries of God. He doesn't want to keep them from us. We keep them from us because we don't grow up. We don't get closer. We are too busy talking. We're too busy worrying. We're too busy with our own thoughts. But 1 Corinthians 2:9 and 10 says this. That is what the scriptures mean when they say, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. But it was to us that God revealed these things by his Spirit, for his Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. So don't sit and think God won't talk to me. He wants to talk to you. He wants to speak to you, and he wants you to know the difference between the natural thoughts and the natural sight and the spiritual sight and the spiritual ear to hear. I just think it's so interesting what God has put on Daryl and I's heart to preach, to minister at this beginning of the year. But I think it's a beautiful thing. See, I believe that he trusts us as a church to dig a little bit deeper than what we see on the outside, because God really is at work. See, faith is not our feelings. It's in our feet as we walk in God's supernatural authority that he's given us. Isn't that amazing? You know, the Apostle Paul, he didn't know everything, but he learned as he went, and he taught as he learned. And that's what Pastor and I want to do, and those that are teaching, and all the way from the youngest to the oldest. 2 Corinthians 10:3-5 says this, for though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but has a divine power to destroy strongholds. Isn't that exciting news this morning? We destroy arguments and every lofty thing raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive into Christ. There's a world around us that's trying to tell us what we need to believe, but they don't know truth. They may have a few facts, but they really do not know truth. And God says it's a truth that sets us free. It's not the facts of what we know, even though facts are good in the natural. But if all we see are facts, we won't allow the truth of God's word, in spite of the facts, to do what he needs to do in our life. Why are we fasting and praying? Why are y'all doing that for? Because there's strongholds. Could be that rebellion I meant a while ago, you know. Do you find yourself rebellious? Anybody else? Yeah. Find yourself rebellious in some things, you know. No, that's the way I like it. That's the way I want it. That's the way I've always done it. Do we ever find ourselves rebellious? That could be a stronghold. The weapons are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ. Because there's strongholds that are having a hard time turning loose. But when we begin to deny access, we have to stop the access into our thought life. We have to stop the access in to our homes that the enemy tries, because he's a liar and he will continue to lie as long as we will put up with him. So in this new season that we're in right now, it's our time to begin to declare and begin to tell the enemy that you're already defeated. This is a battle that's already won. And I'm going to take my authority in that. And by doing that, the Word of God tells us to pull down strongholds, take down those thoughts, take down those things that are so easily keeping us from what God has for us. No longer are we going to allow our soulish realm to dictate our future. Because think how far along we could be if our soulish realm hadn't dictated to us what we're going to do and what we're not going to do. But following Christ and living kingdom life is the most exciting life that we could ever possibly have. Yes, we have to give self. What does crucifying self mean to the body of Christ? It means just like today when they are getting baptized, it is a sign that I am going to release my will. I am going to be buried in Christ. And as I am raised up, I am declaring that I am a new creation. And when, you know, some of us maybe need to get baptized again, it would be okay. It's not, you know, doesn't, I know that might go against religious doctrine, but it's okay. But that is the reason for baptism. It doesn't save anybody. Nobody's going to get saved up here getting baptized. Don't get up here if you're not saved. You can just stand there and say, I want to be saved before I get in the water today. But then when we go down, that means that the old man, we just told it, that I don't want you ruling me anymore. It just means enough is enough. I'm not going to give you access to my mind. I'm not going to give you access into my home. I'm not going to give my space that is between me and God. I'm not going to let you have access to it anymore. Romans 12, 1 and 2, Message Bible. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, your eating, your going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. I believe that's what we've been doing in these prayer services. You can do it at home, but we need to live that life. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. You know, we were told as young people when we were all growing up that if you hang around corruptness and bad company, that's who you'll be. And sometimes we might be the bad corruptness by the way we talk, by the way we think, by the way we treat other people. But God says we don't have to stay there. We don't have to be that way. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Aren't you glad? Because we can fix this outside up and it's not going to change one thing that's on the inside. But when we let God change us on the inside, it will be noticeable because you walk into a room and people are glad that you're there. They know that you got a good word. They know that you got an encouragement and that you care. That's what God's trying to do in our lives. Readily recognize what He wants from you. Quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around us, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well form maturity in you. Church, we're growing up. Romans 12:2. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. That's a verse you know mostly instead of the Message. Don't be conformed. Don't let somebody else tell you how to think. Think God ways. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That's what we've been doing. Remember the story of the 12 spies. Everybody knows it. they were sent out to spy out the land, remember? And God said, I want you to go because that's the land I want to give you. It flows with milk and honey. And we know the story, how that went. I'm going to just get a little bit of it. Numbers chapter 13, verse 30. But Caleb quieted the people before Moses, and he said, let us go at once and occupy it, because we are well able to overcome it. Then the men that had, the other 10 spies that had been up there with Joshua and Caleb, this is what they said. We're not able to go up against the people because they're stronger than we are. So they brought to the people of Israel a bad report of the land that they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone to spy out is a land that devours its inhabitants. And there we saw Nephilim, the sons of Anak, who come from the Nephilim. I don't know if I'm saying it right. Sounds good, though. We seem to ourselves like grasshoppers, and so we seem to them. We think of ourselves as grasshoppers, and I know that's how they think of us. If we think we're grasshoppers, you know, that's why we don't let our kids go around speaking depressive things. I'm this, nobody likes me. We encourage them. We love them. And we have to just keep, and we know, we understand that. Because we've had our child that you have to keep the word of God going forth to change that frame of mind. And so we have to change some frames of mind. Only Joshua and Caleb believed the Israelites could have what God said that they could have. They believed the word of God of the Lord. You know why? How did they do that? Because they remembered the Red Sea parting. They remembered the manna and the quail. And they remember the rock that Moses struck, and there was water coming out. Those are miracles. They remember the miracles of God. And Caleb, he's like, come on, let's go. God, I want that mountain. Give me that mountain. But the 10 spies that had the negative report, they saw themselves as not enough. They saw themselves as they looked only at the natural. And their faith had not been built up while they were in the wilderness. A lot of people stay in the wilderness going around the mountain for 40, 50 years, and they still say the same things, fight the same battles. And that's what happened with the Israelites. They spent more time grumbling. They were a rebellious, stiff-necked people. They really were. You know, they complained, and oh, if we just stayed in Egypt, if we just stayed there under rule, and at least we'd know we'd have food, and we didn't have to believe God. We didn't have to. Sometimes that can be the mentality in today, but that's what they did. Then how about Rahab and the two spies? Do you remember that? We're going to go to Joshua real quick. Joshua chapter 2, verse 8, message. Before the spies were down for the night, the woman, Rahab, came up to them to the roof, and she said, I know that God has given you the land. We're all afraid. Isn't this interesting? We're all afraid. Everyone in the country feels hopeless. Now, wait, isn't this the same? This is right. We're right theologically here, right? This is the same land where the spies went up to. Oh, they took the grapes back. You know, selfish little guys, take those grapes back. Well, we'll steal them out from under their nose. Took it back, but yet here's Rahab. I know that God has given you the land. We're all afraid. Everyone in the country feels hopeless. We heard how God dried up the waters of the Red Sea before you even left Egypt. And what he did, I mean, you know, they didn't have telegram, they didn't have TV, they didn't have except somebody come that had seen all this works of God, somehow got to them and says, you know, this is what happened. Their God really can do the miraculous. Their God really can. They're something else. We can never win going up against them. We heard how God dried up the waters of the Red Sea before you when you left Egypt, and what he did to the two Amorite kings east of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you put under a holy curse and destroyed. We don't want a curse here. Rahab's like, you know, you guys are something else. We heard it and our hearts sank. We all had the wind knocked out of us, and all because of you and your God, God of the heavens and God of the earth below. That's what caused our trouble. I want you to watch a little video here. Isn't that awesome? Yay! Isn't that awesome? The devil, according to 10 spies, looks big, and the deer looks small. But the deer, according to Joshua and Caleb, was tenacious, was a winner. See, God, we can turn that around. We can see God as big as a rhino, and the enemy down there taunting, if we want to, a little deer, but I won't do that to him because he was tenacious. But you can turn it around. It shows your perspective. It shows you how same knowledge, they all had knowledge, but it was understanding and how and what to do with the knowledge and the wisdom that they had. And that's what God is wanting us to do, is to learn to do the knowledge that we have about our Lord Jesus Christ and who we are in Christ. Now, that's kingdom living when we find out who we are in Christ. That little deer, he knew exactly who he was. That big old rhino was getting over too close to him. And he's like, I'm not afraid of you. You are a bully. And I am not going to put up with you. And it was interesting how before that was over. I don't know. Do we have the picture up there? Do we have a picture? Yeah. Before it was all over with, you could see that rhino kind of remind me of our dog, Ollie. He loves to chase Kevin. He just loves it. But when he gets excited, he just pounces like that. And it's almost like before it was over, that big old guy was like, he's not afraid of me. He's not scared. What in the world's going on here? I think I better just get out of here. And that's how we have to be with the enemy. The deer in us means we are not backing down. Come on, biggin, you don't know who I am. That's what he thought. You big guy, it don't make any difference to me because I'm faster than you are. And I know who I am. I'm not who I used to be. I used to maybe look small, but as I've matured in the Lord and I've grown in the Lord and I know who I am in Christ, then I know that he is my refuge. I know that he is doing something in my life. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I'm no longer a slave to depression, and I was that, but I am not anymore. Isaiah 41, 10 through 13 says this. Don't be afraid because I'm with you. Don't be discouraged because I am your God. I will strengthen you and I will help you. Why do you think you go through all this stuff that you do? Why? Well, we can take them and turn them around for our good, right? Don't be afraid. You don't have to worry. I'm with you. I've got answers you haven't even asked, answers to problems you haven't even asked the question yet. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I'll uphold you with the right hand of my right, victorious right hand, with my righteousness, one translation says. See, all your angry enemies lie there confused and humiliated. I think maybe that rhino might have been a little bit. I'm not going to mess around here. If you look in vain for those who tried to conquer you, those who come against you, those who attack you, those who say things that aren't true, those who are trying to destroy your marriage or that spirit or whatever, if you trust God, you'll look around and that same enemy will not be there, because I will uphold you with your right hand, I, the Lord your God, and say, don't be afraid. I'm here to help you. We are moving forward knowing God sent Jesus. Worship team, would you come? Isaiah 53, 5 and 6 says this. He was pierced for our rebellion. I think that's interesting that it says he was pierced for our rebellion. He was crushed for our sins. He was pierced for our rebellions. I've never read that translation before. If I did, I just skimmed right over and didn't get it. But see, rebellion means that there's something lodged in us that we think is our territory and we don't want to give it up because it'll make us vulnerable. And if we're vulnerable, we're going to get hurt again. But God says, you can trust me. Because not only did I take your rebellion, I was crushed for your sins. And he was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. All of us, every one of us, like sheep, have been astray. We have left God's path to follow our own. We've all done that. Even after we got saved, we did things that we embarrassed ourselves. But when we realize how we, that rebellion hurt our Lord and Savior, because he's like, I pay the price for that. You don't have to stay that way. Like David, we've heard the giants roar. Have you ever heard the devil roar at you? You're not going to make it. This is a big one. You're not going to be able to be a mom. You're not going to be able to be a good wife. You're not going to be able to be a good husband. You're not a good daddy because your daddy wasn't a good daddy. You're not going to be a good mom because you don't know how to be a good mom because you didn't have a good mom. Or you didn't have, how could anybody love me? I was just an orphan. You took me in, but you did it because you needed somebody and you just happened to get me for the lottery. But God sees something in us that we don't see. And he says, I want you to put your spiritual glasses on. And I want you to see yourself as God sees. See, God saw something in me. I still, when I think about it, it pulls me to my knees. I had no qualifications to do anything that God has allowed me to do, not one. But yet he can take us and use us in spite of ourselves. The Spirit of God is speaking today, and he's saying, yes, I know you. I know right where you're at. I know your comings, your goings. I know your low times. I know all the things that you've hidden because of shame. I know all the things that you wish you had not done or you weren't. But I love you, and my arms are open because I see you in a much different light than how you have received yourself and even others. Their opinions matter way too much. Let me show you who you really are, says God. Let me show you. You're going to hear a small, still voice. As you look at yourself, God's going to begin to speak if you are honest, open, and want to. And he'll speak through your thoughts because that's where everything goes through, good and bad. But the enemy's not going to tell you how good you are. But God's going to begin to point out to you what he sees in you. He doesn't see your failures. He doesn't see your weak places. It's in those things that he makes us strong. We remember the lion and the bear of our lives, just like David. It was a natural thing. He knew lonely times when it seemed like nobody cared. David was out there for days by himself. Can you imagine how lonely that must have been? Especially after he had been anointed to be king over Israel. I'm sure he wrestled with that sometime, but yet inside he knew that he had been sought out and anointed. See, God has been seeking and searching and sought out many of you. Sitting here today, God has a call on your life. And he says, I haven't forgotten you. I have purpose. May we be like David and the brave deer. You know what? He stood before that giant. He went to take sandwiches. He didn't think. He wasn't thinking about fighting. In fact, he was quite surprised that nobody was fighting. A whole lot of yelling, roaring going on. But you don't know when you're going to walk into the middle of a battlefield. You're going to walk right in the middle of it. And God's going to give you a word. God's going to give you something that is going to bring those powers of darkness down. He had a lot of practice with his slingshot. But his real mission was not to take food to the brothers. It was okay that he was doing something in the natural. But God wants to turn our natural into supernatural. I'm sure the brothers needed the food. And I'm sure that God wants to use us to minister to people. And we do that. But our mission, we may miss it if we think the only thing we're supposed to do is take that food to them. When he got there, there was something going on. That wasn't just in the natural. There was something that was much spiritual, and David tapped into it. He said, how dare you defy the army of the Lord? And that is how you and I need to be, just like that little deer. How dare you defy what God is doing in my life and wants to do in my life? You and I, we have no idea. The missions that God has planned for our next. We just know we're called. We are a body of believers. Isaiah 55:8 says this, my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, My ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. That's exciting. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. See, we need to bring our thoughts up a little bit more. We need to bring them. How do we think about other people? How do we feel about other people? What do we say about other people? The rain and the snow come down from the heavens and stay on the ground to water the earth. They cause the grain to grow, producing seed for the farmer and bread for the hungry. It's the same with my word. I send it out and it will always produce. See, there's word that comes forth every Sunday from this podium and every Wednesday. The word goes forth. He sends it out and he says it will produce good fruit. It's will accomplish all that I want it to. It will prosper wherever I send it. Oh, we see, we've been saying it's a season of prophetic. It's a season of harvest. It's a season of prodigals return. It's a season of vision, dreams, strength, growth, joy, and a new song of restoration. He's sending out his words. The mountains, don't you? Let's back up just a little bit to verse 12. You will live in joy and peace. Whoopee. Anybody want any joy? Anybody want any peace? Are you ready for it? Are you ready to listen to what God is saying and bring peace to your household? We don't have to have the last word. Sometimes we don't even need to have the first word. Sometimes we just need to see who's with us. The way God sees them. That's a lot of crucifying of self, but it will work. Mountain and hill will burst into song, and the trees of the fields will clap their hands. Once there were thorns, and now cypress trees will grow. Thank you, Lord, for the growth in your people. Stand to your feet. In him we have our being. I'm like, Pastor, just because I got you on your feet doesn't mean we're done. I just said that for him, one of his sayings. But Galatians 5, 22 and 23 says this, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. If we trust in him, we will learn the source of the agape love. We will learn the joy unspeakable and full of glory. Peace that passes all understanding. We'll walk in it and people say, how are you doing that? It's because we have been on a journey with God. He has taken care of the enemy. He's already done that. When the devil tries to torment us, God says, I've already got that. You'll look around and it's not going to be there anymore. Give it no attention. I've got it under my control. And patience that steadies our heart when the answer tarries longer than expected. Sometimes we don't like to have to wait, but in the waiting is a beautiful thing going on if we'll lean into it. Because it steadies our heart, our soulish realm. If we can say what God says, I wish it was today, but God, I trust you that when it comes, it's so good. It'll be just wonderful. I'm waiting for it. I'm expecting it. I'm standing out looking, and I know it's going to come. Kindness. It's a kindness that's a fruit of the Spirit that rises when your flesh wants to be wounded and angry. You ever been there? Of course you have. Goodness that remains faithful even when no one notices the quiet sacrifices. Because see, faithfulness shows up when we're weary and tempted to stay away. That's what faithfulness does. Gentleness that measures healing in another weary soul, ministers healing even when you yourself need comfort. And then self-control when the flesh wants to indulge and when the heart wants to strike back at the accuser. Galatians 6, 9 said, let's not get tired of doing what is good, because at the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Pastor Darrell, thank you for not giving up. Thank you. If you had gave up, Almost 42 years you and I have been married. If you'd given up, we wouldn't have been together. Thank you. I'm so thankful for so many people that didn't give up, they didn't quit. Thank you. Paul's saying, don't get tired. He's speaking to our soulish realm. He wants us to see good in our everyday life, in our marriages. Pastor preached last week how we need each other. God's got something for all of us to do. We got to take our everyday service and take it out into the community where we live. One other thing that has an expiration date are seasons. We don't want to miss this one. And every trial has an expiration date. I've had a saying for a long time that this too shall pass. How many this too shall pass have I seen? When I thought I was drowning, when I thought there was no answer, just simple words, this too shall pass. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. We're going to allow God to work in and through us in those broken places. They will become beautiful places of your life. Holiness is a goal of running our race. Solid Rock, this is a new season. It's a season for the prophetic to flow. Amos 3:7 says, surely the Lord does nothing unless he reveals his secret. A season of harvest of souls. Matthew 9:37, 38 says, a harvest is plentiful, truly. Souls are ready. Season of prodigals to come home. Luke 5:15-20, when the father was standing, how many times did he walk out to that and look to see if his son was coming? I don't know, but you know what? There was something inside of him. He just was not going to give up, Carla. He could see it. He could see it happening. Never gave up. He didn't quit going out there and looking. Neither does our Father. But we're going to see prodigals come home. A new season, a season of new vision and fulfilled dreams. Habakkuk 2:2-3, write the vision, and what was delayed is now approved. I like that one. What was delayed is now approved. How in the world was it approved? Because you remained faithful. You did not quit. You did not give up. And because you believe today that God still has purpose, still has a call, has a purpose for you in your life, not just for somebody else, but for your own self and your family. A season of growth and strength. Isaiah 40:31, they shall renew their strength. Weakness is replaced with endurance. Thank you, Lord, for giving Pastor Daryl and I endurance. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for giving families endurance. Thank you, Lord, that you're bringing healing to their households. Thank you, Lord, that you're doing such a beautiful work in this season. You're calling them out because they're precious to you, because you got a work for them to do. Season of laughter and joy. Psalm 126:2, then their mouth will be filled with laughter because weeping had an expiration date. Number 7, a new song of restoration. Isaiah 61:3, beauty for ashes, a garment of praise. That which was broken, you may see some scars, but you'll carry no shame. Isn't that amazing what God can do? because it's a new season. Sing it with us.
It's a new season.